if you don't have the right contractor and good quality materials. And anyone who has built a house before can attest to this. But there's one very important element that is needed for even a house to remain standing long after the contractor dies or passes away. And that essential element is a good, solid foundation. The church we are gathered in this morning, St. Andrew's Kirk, has been built and been here from 1810. I don't have to tell you the foundation in this church is solid. You see, you can have a very good contractor. You can have all the best materials you want. But if there's something wrong with the foundation of any building, soon cracks will develop. And sooner or later that building will come tumbling down. This is not only true for a man-made building, but this is also true for God's church. You see, the Apostle Paul, like a skilled master builder, had planted this church in Corinth. And very shortly after his departure, this church was going through serious problems. I mean, there was sexual immorality in the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, they had a man who was sleeping with his father's wife. And Paul said, this type of stuff is not even named among pagans, man. We got this going on in the church. They were professing believers, suing each other in courts. You know, when they gathered to celebrate the Lord's Supper, the rich sat over there and the poor sat over here, and they forgot that they were doing this in remembrance of Christ. There was misuse of the spiritual gifts. We see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul has the right to tell them just how to use the gifts of the Spirit. But the day before us in chapter 3, we have the problem of division. Different groups had formed in the church and factions, and some had gathered around Paul and some had gathered around Apollos. Some of Paul, some of Apollos. You know what is so ironic about the problem in Corinth is that they had the best contractor in the Apostle Paul. You could not find a better church planter than the Apostle Paul. Not only that, they had the Holy Spirit in Corinth. Yes, they had all of the gifts of the Spirit. If you read 1 Corinthians 12, they had the gift of tongues, the interpretation of tongues. They had the gift of healing, the gift of knowledge, the gift of wisdom. The Holy Spirit had lavished himself in Corinth. But yet with Paul and the Holy Spirit, this church was not growing. This lack of growth is made evident in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. When Paul says, I could not address you as spiritual people. I could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh. Because you were infants in Christ. He longed to feed them with milk, not solid food. He longed to feed them with solid food, but they were not ready for it. And Paul says, even now you are not ready for it. For you are still of the flesh. See, not only was the church not growing in Corinth, but they were behaving like unbelievers. They were in fact behaving just like people of the world. And this is made evident in verse 3 and 4 when Paul says, where there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? But when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? Now, church, I want you to understand that chapter 3 is very important for us this morning. It's very important for us because as Paul writes, he sees all these problems that are going on in the church of Corinth. And he finds that there's one main problem that is causing all of these symptoms. He looks at the church he has planted and he sees all these cracks in the wall. And he says, you know what? This is the problem in Corinth right now. It's found in verse 11. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. No one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You see, the church in Corinth had forgotten about the foundation of the church. It was the person and work of Jesus Christ that was the foundation of God's church and will always be the foundation of God's church. It was not Paul. It was not Apollos. You see, in this one verse, Paul has given us not just the reason why Christians are not growing in Corinth, but he's given us the reason why Christians are not growing anywhere and everywhere in the world today. It is because they are trying to lay another foundation other than that which is already laid in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. They are moving away from the foundation of grace. The problem in the church of Corinth is simple. God had saved his people in Corinth by the power of the Holy Spirit. He had quickened them. They were once dead in trespasses and sins. He had done this marvelous work through the cross of Jesus Christ. And these people had literally been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. They were now seated with Christ in heavenly places, man. And God did all of this work through Christ. And it was all by his grace. No one deserved it. No one can boast in it. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, that no one can boast in it. But instead of looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith, the people in Corinth began to look to mere humans and human wisdom. And they looked to that to finish what God had started by the Spirit. You see, the main problem in Corinth is that they had forgotten the gospel of Jesus Christ that had established them. And in their ignorance, they were trying to grow according to the human wisdom of the world, instead of the grace and the knowledge that is found in Jesus Christ. And I don't want you to think that this problem in Corinth is just some type, just regulated to first century Corinth. But this problem still exists in the church today. I mean, if you ask, I've asked Bahamians before, like, which church do they attend? And sometimes I don't even get the name of a church. I get the name of a man. I go to so-and-so church. I go to Jimmy's church. I follow so-and-so bishop. My next question would be, did Jimmy or the bishop or so-and-so shed his blood on the cross for you? Who is it that purchased you with his blood? You see, there is only one head in God's church, and that is Jesus Christ. And there is only one way to grow in God's church, and that is through the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But Christians today are looking for a relationship with God that is not based on his grace in Jesus Christ. They want a relationship that's based on their wisdom. They want the 10 steps to finding their purpose in life. They want a relationship that's based on their abilities, their strengths. They want a relationship that's based on the favor with another pastor, another church leader. They want a relationship that's based on their possession of certain spiritual gifts. Because maybe if I have the gift of tongues, I can name it and claim it and tell God what he should do with my life. When they don't realize they've been saved by God's sovereign grace. No one came looking for God. He came looking for us. Some have made the mistake of even believing that true spiritual maturity is determined by our possession of certain spiritual gifts. Might I remind you that the church in Corinth could arguably be the most gifted church in the New Testament. But yet Paul still calls them infants in Christ. Babes. You see, what determines true spiritual maturity, Christians, is that we understand what Paul is saying to us today. That no one can lay a foundation in God's church other than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So there are three main takeaways that Paul gives us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. That is important for us as Christians today to learn how to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And also how to build on this foundation that is in Christ alone. The first thing that Paul reminds us is we have to understand that this foundation that is found in Christ is a foundation of pure grace. It's a foundation of pure grace. Secondly, Paul reminds us that true ministry in God's church is by grace alone and is for God's glory alone. And lastly, Paul reminds us that Christ one day will come back to inspect the work of all believers in his church. And as we go through these three points, we're going to go through this text this morning and we're going to see exactly what Paul is saying. The first point is understand the foundation that is in Christ alone is a foundation of pure grace. You see, the Christian is someone who is a recipient of the grace of God. We have received this grace not just for salvation, but we have received this grace for sanctification. John Calvin calls it the duplex gratia of the Christian life. It means that you never get all of grace. You never outgrow grace. Grace is this thing, this power of God that's working in you, and it is needed for every day of the Christian walk. That's why the Bible tells us this grace and mercies are new every morning. It's new every morning because grace is like the manna that flew from that came down from heaven with the children in Israel. That is what they needed to sustain them every day. Sometimes we forget that grace is not just needed for salvation, but it's needed to do anything good and perfect for the glory of God. So Paul tells us in Romans 5 verses 1 to 2, he tells us these benefits that the Christians have received. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Yes. But how does it come to us? It's through our Lord Jesus Christ. And just so we don't forget it, he's talking about everything else in the Christian walk. He says, through Christ, through whom also we have obtained access. If you want to access God, well, it's through Christ, by faith. And just so you don't get it confused, the relationship that all of us have who are Christians with God is a relationship of grace. He said, we have access to God through Christ, and we stand in this grace before God. We are reminded this morning that we do not access God through a pastor or through a church leader or through a priest. We access God through the person and work of Jesus Christ. We do not access God through an emotional experience. We do not access God through our own human wisdom. We access God through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And that, and because of that, the Christian and the whole church must be seen in this direct relationship to Christ. If Christ is the head and he is causing the whole body to grow, then it means as Christians we get all of our source from Christ. He sustains us. When we understand this, we'll pray for grace to do anything. We'll wake up and the first thing we'll pray for is God's grace. And sometimes in the Christian walk, we forget how much we need His grace. Paul shows us how much the Christian is solely dependent on the grace of God in verses 5 to 9 of 1 Corinthians 3. He says, what then is Apollos? These people had magnified Paul and Apollos. He said, who is Paul and who is Apollos? They're just servants through whom you believe. And the Lord assigned to each. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered. But who gave the growth? God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. You see, Paul is saying that they can preach the word. They can do all of these things, but only God can save. Only God can cause us to grow in the Christian life. You know, all of us are gathered here this morning. We believe that when Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, be holy for I'm holy, we believe that we must be holy to see the Father. But that holiness is not coming from us. That's coming from a work that God is doing in our hearts through the power of His Holy Spirit. Let us not forget how much we are dependent on God to do this work and not humans. If I was to ask you today to increase your patience, to increase your love, and to increase your self-control, where do you turn to find those answers? You see, these are fruits that's growing from the Holy Spirit that's in the Christian. And God has told us to read the Word and be under good teaching and of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But who gives us more patience? It is God who is doing this work in us. Let us not forget it. So Paul is reminding us that all of our salvation and all of the growth of the whole Christian experience is totally dependent on the grace of God. Yes, God has given us pastors and teachers and many other ministries in the church as gifts. You know, when Jesus ascended in Ephesians 4, they said when he ascended into heaven, he gave gifts to the church. That's what God calls what I'm doing today. It's a gift of grace. I can't boast in it. Every ministry that God has given is a gift to the church. And what is the end purpose? That we all reach full maturity in Christ. So the source of our growth is God, not man. And we must remember that we are all on the same team in God's church. One head, one body, one purpose, conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. You see, the church in Corinth had divided themselves among Paul and Apollos. And Paul said, man, look, you forget me and Apollos are on the same team in this, you know, competition here. Paul says in verse 9, he says, they are all God's fellow workers. From the person who opens up the church door and the gift of the people whom God has given gifts to teach the Sunday school, to preach on a Sunday morning, to the elders of the Kirk. Every gift that God has given the church, we're all on the same team. Paul says, let he who plants and he who waters are one. You know, as we gathered here this morning, we were reminded of this merger between the Kirk and the Covenant Life. But this is God's doing, not man. It is not Julian's church and it's not Brent's church. This is God's church. And we are all on the same team. The quicker we understand that, we can grow. Secondly, Paul reminds us that true ministry is by grace alone and for God's glory alone. We're not only saved by grace, transformed by God's grace, but how do we do ministry in God's church? Well, it's by God's grace. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10 to 15, Paul says, it was according to the grace of God given to him. Like a skilled master builder, he laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. But he says, let each one take care how he builds. You see, God has given us this pure foundation of grace in Christ. And how do we build on that? Well, it's according to the grace that God has given us that we build on grace. Whatever ministry God has given us to do in His church, you know that God has also supplied the grace to do that work. So that means no one can really boast in it. Today I can't stand before you and boast in anything that I've done. I'm preaching according to the grace of God given to me. And sometimes when I'm in the pulpit, I feel like a young boy who is playing on a playground because I know this is what God has called me to do. I can't take any credit for this. You know, I liken it to doing ministry in God's church. It's like a 7-year-old daughter whom the father had asked. You know, let's say a father gives a 7-year-old daughter some money to go buy some Christmas presents. And then the mother takes the daughter and she goes and she buys a present for her father. And the father is so excited because the daughter bought him this present. And the father says, I want to put this present on display because this is a display of my grace. Now, what do you think will happen if the daughter said, no, I want you to put me on display because I buy you the present? Well, it was the father who gave the daughter the money. And if the father didn't give the daughter the money, there'll be no present to buy. You see, doing ministry in God's church is the same way. God gives us His Holy Spirit. We were once dead in trespasses and sins, man. Don't forget who you were. And God empowers us to serve in church, in His church, by the power of His Holy Spirit. And He's given us these grace gifts. But God wants to put Himself on display and His grace on display. But sometimes we get in the way of that. You know, Paul says he is doing this work according to the grace of God given to him. What are you doing, Christian? According to the grace of God given to you. All of us have been given grace. And all of us have been given gifts in God's church. And when we do ministry, we must remember that ministry is for God's glory alone. Lastly, Paul reminds us that Christ Himself will return one day to inspect the work of all believers in his church. Why is this message so important for us this morning? Why is it important to know about grace and to grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Why is it important to use our gifts for the glory of God? Well, it's simple. Christ's coming back. And he's going to expect the work of all believers in his church. There's no greater reason for us to use our gifts for the glory of Christ than the fact that all of the works of Christians will be judged. And sometimes as Christians we forget that we too will have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This judgment that Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 12 to 15 is not a judgment concerning the Christian's position. We are in Christ. Yes, the Christian is born again. He is saved in Christ. But there's a judgment coming to the Christian according to what we have done with his grace. Paul says, now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest. Why? Because the day will disclose it. There's coming a day when Jesus will return and he will reveal what we are doing, if it's for his glory or not. Paul says it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one of us have done. The work that has been built on the foundation survives. The Christian will receive a reward. But if anyone works is burnt up, the Christian will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. And the image Paul is given there is, imagine your house is caught on fire. Yeah, you might run out of the house and be able to be saved in that, but everything that you've worked so hard for in your entire life will be burnt up. And that's why it's so important for us to understand that we are to work according to the grace of God given to us and for his glory alone. Because an evaluation will be done to determine if the works we have done is for Christ's glory alone. The foundation of God's church is a foundation of pure grace. And we can only build according to the grace that God has given to us. You know, the Our Father prayer ends with, thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory. If we ever get confused about ministry, just keep on repeating that to yourself. Thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory. You see, Jesus is coming back, my friends. And I would not be doing my job as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ if I wouldn't remind everyone in this building today that Jesus Christ is coming back. In Revelation 22 verse 12, he tells us, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. This is a great reminder for all of us this morning that we should test our motives in ministry. And that we should examine our own hearts. What are we doing with the time that God has given us? The grace that he has afforded to us? Are we living our lives truly for the glory of God? When we leave here, can people look at our lives on a regular day at work and say, hey, that person looks like Jesus? You know, if you can't remember anything I've said today, just remember this one thing. That Jesus Christ is coming back. Because when we think about his return, everything else grows slowly dim. But that one true fact, that he is coming back, is before us. And even the thought of Jesus Christ, to the unbeliever, he is struck with fear. If you want to know where you stand with this Jesus, who is the sure foundation of God's church today, just ask yourself this question. What do you do with Jesus when he comes back? If he were to tell you, what have you done with the gifts that I've given you? What would your response be? You see, for the believer who is working for his own glory and for his own grace, for his own glory, well, he's going to feel guilty about Christ's return. But for that believer who is working according to God's glory, he waits for Christ's return with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm saying this to everyone this morning because I believe that Jesus Christ is someone who we can come to at any point. And he will give us his grace and his forgiveness. If we examine our own hearts today, we can come to this Jesus afresh. Remember, this is the same Jesus who restored Peter. After Peter had failed our Lord Jesus Christ miserably, he denied him 3 times. But this same Jesus restored Peter. He came to him. And you read about Peter in Acts 2. When Jesus restored Peter, he preached on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 souls were saved by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now that's the same Peter who wanted to go back to fishing. That's the same Peter who had given up. And I'm saying to you today, Christian, you might be in the same position. You might be sitting down on the gifts and talents and the grace that God has given to you. And I'm saying, rise up, Christian. Understand that he has given you this gift to put on display. Understand, yes, that trials and sufferings will come in our lives. And sometimes we'll feel like the greatest failure. But there's always grace in the foundation of Jesus Christ. The grace that restores is the grace that will display. It's the grace that will give glory to God. Let us remember that today. Let us not forget that we were once dead in trespasses and sins. We were once walking according to the course of this world. We were once following Satan, the prince of the power of the air. And we were once children of wrath, just like everybody else. But what is the difference in the Christian life? But God. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he has loved us, by grace are you saved. He raised you up and seated you in heavenly places. Why did he do it? So that in the ages to come, he would show his kindness and his grace towards us in Christ Jesus. By grace you are saved. Through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works. And no one can boast about it. What is the Christian? Well, he is God's masterpiece. Created in Christ Jesus. To do good works. Which God prepared beforehand that we could walk in. How can anything good come out of us? Ask Saul of Tarsus. He is the one who says he's building according to the grace of God given to him. That could be our report, church. We can leave here today saying exactly what Paul has said. We can leave here today saying these words that he gives us in 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 to 8. He says, I have fought the good fight of faith. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. And henceforth there's a crown laid up for me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have loved the appearing of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul knew that even though the church was going through problems, he knew where he stood in all of that. He knew that he was using all of the grace that God had given him for God's glory alone. And I'm saying to you, we could be in that boat this morning. We can have that confidence that when Christ returns, the crown of righteousness will be waiting on us. And this righteous judge will give us according to the grace that he has given us. He'll give us this reward. And we can rest assured that we have been building on the right foundation, church. Amen. Amen.